I ask for my brother now, who is to speak to us this evening, for your careful and your prayerful attention as he divides the words of truth this evening to us. Our brother Ken.
Thank you, Hilbert. Excuse me. My brother Jay called me this morning and asked if I'd speak tonight. The events of the day until later on this afternoon kept me from really thinking too much about this evening. And sometimes when you're asked to speak, sometimes your mind opens up and sometimes you have trouble collecting all the thoughts and ideas that come to your mind. This afternoon, my thoughts seemed to center in on a few scriptures. Disturbed me somewhat because some of the scriptures are scriptures that I used recently. I wasn't exactly sure this afternoon what the Lord wanted me to bring, and perhaps even now, I'm not quite sure, but I do trust that the Lord will open our hearts and our minds, and He'll deliver the message that He has this evening. Matthew, the 7th chapter. I'd like to read a couple verses. It says, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." In conjunction with those couple verses, I'd like to turn to page 37 in the Book of Mormon. I'd like to read 3 or 4 verses from page 37, then skip over and read a verse on page 39. Page 37, starting at verse 183 and reading through 188. "And after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which has been kept back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in my own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, that they shall write many things, which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And after thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up, to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, and my rock, and my salvation. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day, and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb." On page 39, verse 214, "For the time cometh, saith the Lamb of God, that will work a great and a marvelous work among the children of men." And I believe that we all feel that that great and marvelous work has begun. That the Lord has again restored the gospel to the earth. That we have in our hands a plan of salvation. That the Lord restored again His authority to this earth. Restored again those parts of the gospel that were removed, that we have for our understanding the plan of salvation. We had a young sister this afternoon that entered into the waters of baptism, and she fulfilled part of what is required to gain salvation. She came before the Lord and what I feel was sincerity and humility, with a great desire to take upon her the name of Christ. Do you know from this day forward, she begins a new life. It's the same as each of us. When we entered the waters of baptism, began a new life. We came up a creature that was clean, that was pure before God and before man. It was laid upon us to keep ourselves as much as possible pure and clean. If they endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. I guess tonight what I would like to bring forth is the straight and narrow path and endeavoring to stay upon that path. I'd like to read, possibly what I'm going to do is a little backwards. I'm going to read Nephi's interpretation of Lehi's vision. Then I'd like to go back and read part of the vision that Lehi had. Turn back to page 28. I'd like to read verses 63 through... Well, we're going to read probably the next three pages through 127, but we'll skip parts of it. Starting at the 63rd verse... It says, "Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? And I answered him, saying, Yea, it is the love of God, which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men, wherefore is the most desirable above all things. And he spake unto me, saying, Yea, and the most joyous to the soul. And after he said these words, he said unto me, Look, and I looked, and I beheld the Son of God going forth among the children of men. And I saw many fall down at his feet and worship him. And it came to pass that I beheld that the rod of iron, which my father had seen, was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. I also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God." Skipping over to page 30, verse 89, "And the multitude of the earth were gathered together, and I beheld that they were in a large and spacious building, like unto the building which my father saw. And the angel of the Lord spake unto me again, saying, Behold, the world and the wisdom thereof. Yea, behold, the house of Israel has gathered together to fight against the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And it came to pass that I saw and bear record that the great and spacious building was the pride of the world. And it fell, and the fall thereof was exceeding great." Skipping over to verse 124. "And the angel spake unto me, saying, Behold, the fountain of filthy water which thy father saw, yea, even the river of which he spake, and the depths thereof are the depths of hell. And the midst of darkness are the temptations of the devil, which blindeth the eyes, and hardeneth the hearts of the children of men, and leadeth them away into broad roads, that they may perish and are lost. And the large and spacious building which thy father saw is vain imagination, and the pride of the children of men. And a great and a terrible gulf divideth them, yea, even the word of the justice of the eternal God and the Messiah, who is the Lamb of God, of whom the Holy Ghost beareth record from the beginning of the world until this time, and from this time henceforth and forever." We just read the interpretation that Nephi received with the Lord of his father's vision. Now I'd like to turn back and read portions of Lehi's vision. Maybe make a few comments as we go along. Page 20, beginning at 48th verse. "And it came to pass, after I had prayed unto the Lord, I beheld a large and spacious field. And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And it came to pass that it did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof. And I beheld it that was most sweet above all that I had ever tasted. Yea, and I beheld that the fruit thereof was white to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen. As I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding great joy." Partook of the love of God. You know, God has such great love for each of us. He sent His only Son. He had great love for us that He desires that each of us would partake of the plan of salvation and spend eternity with Him. For the Lord has great and marvelous things in store for those that love Him, for those who endure to the end, for those that love Him and serve Him. As our brother mentioned this morning, it's not doing our own thing, but it's doing the will of the Lord. And that's the whole duty of man, is to serve God. Wherefore, I began to be desirous that my family should partake of it also. For I knew that it was desirable above all other fruit. As I cast my eyes round about, that perhaps I might discover my family also, I beheld a river of water. And it ran along that was near the tree of which I was partaking, the fruit. And I looked, and behold, from whence it came, and I saw the head thereof a little way off. And at the head thereof I beheld your mother Sariah, and Sam, and Nephi. And they stood, if they knew not whither they should go. It came to pass that I beckoned unto them, and I also did say unto them with a loud voice that they should come unto me and partake of the fruit which was desirable above all other fruit. It came to pass that they did come unto me and partake of the fruit also. Excuse me. And it came to pass that I was desirous that Laman and Lemuel should come to partake of the fruit also. Wherefore I cast mine eyes towards the head of the river, that perhaps I might see them. And it came to pass that I saw them, but they would not come unto me and partake of the fruit. And I beheld a rod of iron. And it extended along the bank of the river and led to the tree by which I stood. And I also beheld a straight and narrow path, which came along by the rod of iron even to the tree by which I stood. And it also led by the head of the fountain unto the large and spacious field as it had been a world. And I saw numerous concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward that they might obtain the path which led unto the tree by which I stood. It came to pass that they did come and forth and commence in the path which led to the tree. It came to pass that there arose a mist of darkness, yea, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they who had commenced in the path did lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost. It came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they came and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron, and did press forward through the mist of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come and partake of the fruit of the tree. We see that many people started on that straight and narrow path. But there arose a mist of darkness. We read in the interpretation that mist of darkness was the temptations of the devil. And those that did not have a hold of the rod of iron or the word of God got lost and strayed. Those that held onto the rod of iron, it kept them on that path. It led them through the temptations, through the darkness. Until the end, they ended up at the tree of life. And after they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes round about as if they were ashamed. And I also cast my eyes round about and beheld on the other side of the river of water a great and spacious building, and it stood as if it were high in the air above the earth. And we read that great and spacious building is the pride of man. Sometimes we're, I think, lifted up in our pride. Maybe the things we the things we possess or the things we desire to possess. The world has great things, or so it seems, great things to offer. The world can offer us great wealth, great possessions. It can offer us fine clothing, jewels, pleasure. The world can offer us many things. Those things that the world offer, I think, are part of the temptations of the devil, are part of the blindness that the devil puts in front of us. Reading on, it said, and it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female. And their manner of dress was exceeding fine, and they were in an attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers toward those who came at us, who came at and were partaking of the fruit. And after they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed because of those that were scoffing at them, and they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost. And I would hope that there is none within the sound of my voice this night that is ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would hope that there is none after partaking of the fruit of the tree of life, after having our eyes opened to the gospel, to Christ, to his great love. I would hope that there would be none that would be ashamed of it. I would hope that there would be none that when people may mock us, point their finger at us, that we'd walk away. I hope there'd be none that when the opportunity arises to stand up and be counted, that we'd be sitting down. I honestly hope that there's none who would not pass an opportunity to speak for our Lord and Master. You know, we don't have to verbally speak. Our actions sometimes speak louder than our words. I'd hope we're not ashamed of this gospel. Sometimes I feel that because we're small, because so many of the people are seemingly against us and don't believe in what we believe, sometimes we hide. We hide our belief, we hide our faith. We don't speak out. Scripture that tells us that the dominion of the great and abominable church, and this is my words, I can't quote it exactly, but the dominions of the great and abominable church were upon the whole earth. It said its dominion was great. And the same scripture says that the saints of the Lamb of God were upon the whole earth also. And that scripture also tells us that our dominions were small, that we were scattered. That scripture also tells us that we're armed with the power of God. No matter how small we may be, no matter how small and insignificant we may seem to be, we have the power of God. This afternoon, as our sister sat up here and had the gift of the Holy Ghost confirmed upon her, she was given the power of God. Each within the sound of my voice that has entered into the waters of baptism has received the power of God. Each of us has received the Spirit of God for our constant companion. Before I go on, I'd like to read the same words that my brother read this afternoon in the 14th chapter of St. John. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's what our sister received this afternoon. That's what we've received. And I'm afraid that we don't take full advantage of the Spirit of the Lord. You know, we have decisions to make in our life. We have trials that come upon us. We have temptations that come upon us. Maybe discouragement or despair. Maybe anger. Maybe frustration. Maybe problems with our job. Family problems. Whatever it is, sometimes we seem to fret and worry and care. But we don't reach out. We don't reach out and take a hold of that one person in our lives who can give us what we stand in need of. The Spirit's within us to direct us, to inspire us, to lead us, but we don't take advantage. I don't know if it's because we're afraid that he won't answer us or that he won't lead us. Maybe we subconsciously feel, well, he'll do it for so and so, but he won't do it for me. And I can't find a scripture that says that. Scriptures I read says that he's no respecter of persons. That he'll do the same for me as he will for any of us. But unless we reach out, unless we take advantage, that Spirit may die within us. Spirit's there, but unless we reach out, I think it's upon our shoulders to reach out. Sometimes we just have to reach a little ways. It's not a long way. It's just an arm length away. You know, the Spirit, sometimes it's like the light up here. If we fail to use it, it'll go out. Oh, we can still see a little bit. We can still use our intelligence, our wisdom. We can make decisions. Sometimes we don't make those decisions in the light that we could. We make those decisions looking through a cloud. If we reach out, make use of that Spirit, maybe slowly, as long as we keep reaching. And the more we reach, the more we stretch out our hand, the brighter that Spirit is going to burn within us. The greater enlightenment is going to give us, the greater wisdom, the greater understanding, the greater direction in our lives. It's our constant companion. Don't let the Spirit go out within us. Don't offend that Spirit. You know, the Scripture says, quench not the Spirit. Many ways we can quench the Spirit. Sometimes we ignore Him. Sometimes we receive direction from the Spirit and do completely opposite of what we're told. Sometimes our walk in life will offend that Holy Spirit. You know, we can't get on our knees and cry unto the Lord to help us, to help us overcome a temptation, to help us walk a straighter line. We can't continuously do that and at the same time continuously walk in the error of our ways. Scripture says that Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. And I believe that applies to those within the Church of Christ also, that we can turn the Spirit away. Sometimes He allows us to walk in darkness, to fumble along for ourselves for a period of time, and hopefully we come to the realization of what we've done. Lehi's vision, we read of the mists of darkness and which were the temptations of the devil. I'd like to read the Book of Mormon again, page 154. It's the 12th chapter of the second book of Nephi. For behold, at that day, he's talking of the adversary, it says, for behold, at that day shall he rage. And I thought that was a wise choice of words. That he shall rage in the hearts of the children of men. I thought that word rage put the scripture in a different context. Stir them up to anger against that which is good. For behold, and others will he pacify, and lull them away into carnal security. They will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls, and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. Behold, others he flattereth away, and telleth them, there is no hell. He saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasps them with his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance. And I read that partly to point out the fact that the temptations of the adversary are not always obvious. But the temptations of the adversary are sometimes so subtle and seem so minute that we sometimes overlook them. There's a scripture that says that the devil teaches us not to pray. I'm just going to use this as an example. I don't suppose there's one of us that he's come to and said, you know, you're not to pray. It's not going to do you any good. He doesn't hold a sign over our head that says, don't pray. But what's he do? Doesn't he get us busy with other things that we put it off? Doesn't he discourage us into thinking the prayer's not being answered? Doesn't he fill our hearts and our minds sometimes with things of the world? Maybe things that aren't necessarily bad or evil. It fills us with so many things that we feel that we just have to get done today, that we have to get done this morning. I'll pray that tonight when I come home from work, but this morning I just got to get there. I got to be there by 5:30, and if I'm not there, things are going to fall to pieces. When the evening rolls around, sometimes we don't have time then either. Kids are noisy. We have to go here. We have to do this. We have to do that. Subtle ways. He enters into our hearts and our minds and our thinking and draws us away from those things that are good. It says, thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasps them in his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance. Yea, they are grasped with death and hell, and death and hell and the devil, and all that have been seized therewith must stand before the throne of God to be judged according to their works. From whence they must go into the place prepared for them, even a lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Therefore, woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion. Woe be unto him that crieth, all is well. Yea, woe be unto him that hearkeneth unto the precepts of men, and denieth the power of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yea, woe be unto him that saith, we have received, and we need no more. And in fine, woe unto all those who tremble and are angry because of the truth of God. For behold, he that is built upon the rock receiveth it with gladness, and he that is built upon a sandy foundation trembleth, lest he shall fall. And we know that he that builds upon the rock, that when the winds and the rains come, shall stand strong. But he that is built upon a sandy foundation, when the wind and the rain come, shall surely fall. I'd urge each of us to pray mightily that God would direct us to good, that we'd study to be sure of our foundation. We put our faith and our trust in God. Where our heart is, where our treasure is, there will our heart be. You know, if our treasure is here upon earth, whatever it is, to different people, different things would be their treasure. But if that's where our heart is, if that's where our mind is, on the things of the world, that's where our heart will be. But if our thoughts and our desires are on the things of God, if we're looking forward to the hope that we have of an eternal life with Him, we should be working to that end. Third book of Nephi, chapter 13. Page 674, starting at the 29th verse. It shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. Filled with what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same as he that is hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he has given unto the children of men. Just as our sister entered into the waters of baptism today, was filled with the Holy Ghost, she and each one of us in this room must endure to the end. Must have our hearts and our sights set on those things above, not on the things of the world. I think each of us here believe that we're in the latter days. And I fully believe that as we journey to the end of this dispensation of time, but the closer we get to the end, the greater is going to be the workings of the adversary. For he knows his time is short. He knows his end is near. And what is his sole purpose? To make your life and my life as miserable as possible. To cast us into that same lake, fire and brimstone, that he's going to be cast into. For he knows his end. And he wants as many as he can get to go with him. But as we journey towards this life's end, more and more our hearts and our desires should be affixed in those things above. Make our faith, make our grounding in this gospel sure, that when the time comes, we will not fall. And for this cause, he fulfilleth the words which he has given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore, nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith and the repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end. Now this is the commandment. Repent all ye ends of the earth and come unto me and be ye baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. And one more scripture. When it came to my mind, I at first thought it wasn't, maybe it wasn't pertinent to the rest. But it was impressed upon my mind to bring it forth, and I think I will. 11th chapter of Matthew. It's verses 28 through 30. The words of Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Sometimes we seem to be burdened. Burdened almost beyond our endurance from time to time. The Lord says, come unto him. Come unto him and he will ease our burden. No matter how heavy it is. And when we come unto the Lord, trust in him. Trust in his promise that he will ease that burden. Far too often we take our cares and our troubles and lay them at the Lord's feet. We get back on our feet. We reach over and pick those burdens back up. Instead of leaving them there, we pick them back up and we don't need to. But no matter how heavy our burden, how big our trial, we put our faith and our trust and our Lord and Master, he'll see us through. He's promised us peace and joy. He's promised us happiness. It's not to say that we won't have trials, we won't have temptations, we won't have troubles. But through them all, he'll give us great strength and great comfort. Let's all put our faith, put our trust in the Master of men. Let him take our burdens. Let him ease our pain. Reach out and take hold of the Holy Spirit that is within you. Let him direct you and guide you to good. And if you reach out, if you take hold of the rod of iron, if you allow the Spirit of God to work in your lives, each of us will stay on that straight and narrow path. One day, when this is all over, we'll have reached the goal that we've set out for. And I hope that the goal within each of our hearts and our minds at this time is the salvation of our souls. For that is the hope that lies within us. Our soul will never die. And we have the choice. We've been given the means to choose where we'll spend that eternity. Grab hold of the rod of iron. Make full use of the Spirit of the Lord. Let Him direct you. Let Him guide you. And let Him take your burdens, for we don't need to carry them. Thank you.